I want to talk to you this morning for a few minutes about childlike faith. And I want to ask the question, what happened? You see, all of us start out with childlike faith. You know, all of us have been given a measure of faith. That's what the Word of God says. In Scripture, very clearly in Romans 12:3, it says each one of us have been given a measure of faith. So that very moment we accepted Christ into our lives, faith was given to us, a little seed of it to be in our lives. And we could believe for anything because Jesus was everything to us. But as time went on, maybe things that we perceived God would do for us, he didn't. Maybe things that other people have done for us in the name of God and didn't caused us to become a little bit jaded in our faith. And our childlike faith began to disintegrate. In other words, we would stand on that chair and say, Jesus, unless I see you standing right behind me, I'm not going to take the fall. Yet what does it say in Corinthians? It says that we walk by faith and not by sight. In other words, Jesus most of the time is in that back room somewhere. But he's also in our hearts as well, amen? He can't get any closer, actually. And so as Malachi was there, you know, questioning, you know, are you going to be there? Are you going to be there? I believe that echoes the same thing that you and I deal with on a daily basis at times. We're wondering, are you really there, Jesus? Are you really going to be there to catch me when I take this faith plunge? When I do this thing that I think you've called me to do, are you really going to catch me or not? And so our lives become impacted by our different experiences. So our faith is no longer childlike anymore. So here's what I would like to take some time to do this morning. I would like you and I to maybe walk down a road of rediscovering childlike faith. In other words, to define what it is. And then by doing that, maybe we can kind of look at our own lives and say, oh, I see where I got off the rails here. I see where I lost faith in this area. And maybe do some correcting, some rediscovering, some reconnecting in a sense to what God's got for you. Because we are to be childlike in our approach to God. Now, not childish. There's a big difference between childish and childlike. Childish is that little kid with a temper tantrum. God, if you don't do this, then I'm going to do something. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about childlike faith, where when your father told you or your mother told you something, you didn't question it. You said yes, because you just knew that they would not hurt you in any way. So let's begin by looking at Scripture. In Matthew 18, verses 2 to 4, I want to talk about humility. That's our first childlike trait that you and I need to revisit in our walk this morning. So in Matthew 18, verses 2 to 4, it says this: Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them and said, Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will be by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So here's Jesus himself taking this little child. And actually, when you look it up in the original language, it actually means infant or just, you know, we're talking like 0 to maybe 3, 4 years old, all right? So not like a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old, but someone who's just starting out life can probably perceive what you've got to say, but not much more, if you know what I'm saying. So a young, young child. And sets them in the midst and says, surely, unless you become converted. That word converted in the original actually means to reverse or to go back to. So literally what he's saying is, okay, you're an adult now. You need to become like a little child. You need to reverse, go back to where you were before. And why? So that you can enter the kingdom of heaven. That word enter actually means to participate, to be actively involved in it. Not just a spectator, but to be in it. Amen? And the kingdom of heaven obviously speaks of the realm of the spirit. You know, those things which are spiritual. So for you and I to have what God wants for us, we have to humble ourselves. Does it say someone else humbles us? Who humbles us? We do. It says whoever humbles himself. In other words, it's an attitude that you and I have to have. Well, what's the opposite of humility? Pride. What does pride say? Pride says you can do it yourself. What does humility say? I need all the help I can get. That's the difference between the two. And so for you and I, we need to have a heart of humility, one of surrender to the heart of God. And so we have to ask ourselves the question, do we have a humble heart or a prideful heart? Do you catch yourself when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you feel his unctioning, do you say, hey, Jesus, I got this. Don't worry. You think that's being humble? No, you got a serious issue. When you think that the creator of the universe, whatever he's going to tell you, is not as good or important or right compared to what you think, can I tell you, you're just a little bit crazy. Because he knows best, amen? And so to have a heart of humility, one that's able to approach God, and that when he speaks to you, instead of fighting with him, you just say yes. Because that's what little kids do. When you tell a little kid something, they just say yes. Now, they may have questions, but you know what I've noticed? I want to make a comment. It's okay to ask questions of God. I want you to realize that. Don't get this weird thing that humility is that you don't ask God questions. But let me define the difference between a healthy question and one that's not healthy. All right. Jesus asks you to do something. And so you listen to him. Now, here's what happens. Before you even ask a question, you're already doing what he told you to do. You hear what I'm saying? Now, in the process of that, you may say, Lord, why are we doing this? Or I don't understand this. And then you have an interaction, a conversation with the Lord. But you're walking and doing it. That's okay. But here's what happens to you and I at times when we're not walking in childlike faith. Jesus asks us to do something, and we stand and we're like, okay, no. All right, time out, Jesus. Okay, I want to know about this. I want to know about this. I want to know about this. In other words, we're defying him in a sense, saying, I'm not going to go further until you answer these questions. Can I tell you, that's not a good question. True humility is not the absence of questions, but true humility is acting upon what Jesus says and then gathering information as you go through it. You hear what I'm saying? So which one are you? I have to ask myself that question because there's lots of times the Lord's spoken to me and I'm like, okay, hold on. You want me to do what? You want me to say what? And then I have to catch myself and say, but Lord, if this is you, I'll start doing this. I don't understand. I'm having some trouble with this, but I keep on walking with him. That's childlike faith in the area of humility. So rate yourself. Don't tell me. Rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10. Where do I fit in that category? Are you like a Malachi who's willing to trust, a.k.a. Jesus? Are you willing to let yourself go? Or do you have to ask a bunch of questions before you move forward? Here's the thing. We walk by faith and not by sight. You won't get answers to every question until you begin to act upon what God has called you to do. All right, so we have humility to tackle. Okay, what's the next thing that we need to rediscover? How about this? Innocence. There's a story I read of a father and a daughter, and a daughter's quite young, and she was the tomboy type. And so she would get scrapes on her knees and on her arms, and, everywhere. And her dad became quite an expert in putting Band-Aids on. He even, she would bleed actually quite a bit. Some little kids bleed a lot more than others. Well, she was a bleeder. And so what he would do, he learned how to put those butterfly Band-Aids on. You've seen those. They got the little extra wings and to hold it all together so it wouldn't bleed so much. So he was very good at it, been doing it for years. So this one particular day, she went out on a Saturday and is playing and falls down and scrapes her arm. And then also does a barrel roll, scrapes herself right on top of her head. Okay, nothing unusual. He's patched her up 100 times, right? So she comes in crying, she was hurt. And just as before, he prays with her for a minute. And then he begins to, fix the wounds, clean them and putting all the Band-Aids on. And then he gets to her forehead. So he cleans her forehead and goes to put the butterfly Band-Aid right there. And she says, no, Daddy, don't do that. I'll look stupid. And immediately the father said, who told you that? You see, up until that point, he could put the Band-Aid anywhere on her body. And it was never an issue. What happened? You see, she started to go to pre-K and then kindergarten where she was at this age. And somewhere in school, some other little kid came with a Band-Aid on her head to school and the other kids were picking on her. So all of a sudden now, this innocence this child had to be able to receive a Band-Aid anywhere on her body has now been broken because of someone picking on another kid at school. This story isn't that far from the Bible. In Genesis 3:11, God said to Adam, who told you you're naked? Who told you that you were naked? Innocence was lost there. See, with childlike faith, you're completely innocent. In fact, I have a Samaritan's Purse story that fits in with this. When we first started doing it about 6, 10 years ago, at the very, very beginning, my kids were little. And so we would all go to the dollar store and fill the shopping carts up and come back, and we would fill all kinds of them. But at first, we only did one each for each of the children. You know, we started small. And so there's one particular time, one of my daughters, and I wish I knew which one it was. I don't remember. 5, 6 years old. Now, there were specific instructions. You could only put new things in the box. Can't be this, can't be that. You know, all these different rules, right? So the kids knew the rules, and we're putting all the stuff in. And my one daughter disappears, and we're just finishing up. And she comes back out with a little doll. Now, this doll was messed up. Had one eye missing, one arm hanging off to the side, you know. But it was the doll that she slept with. It was the doll that she played with, that she talked to, that brought comfort to her in her issues of life. And so she takes that and puts it in the box and closes it. Now, you know what I want to do as the dad? I'm like, listen, kid, and I don't remember which one it was. Listen, you can't put that in there. They only want new stuff. We can't send old stuff. But before I opened my mouth, which was good, she said, Daddy, I want to send this because I know there's love in this. You see what I'm saying? Now, that's innocence. She wasn't playing by the rules. The rules didn't matter because her heart was leading her. You see what I'm saying? And that's innocence of heart. That's childlike faith. We're not worried about what this person's thinking or saying about you or any of those things. We just want to be with Jesus. We just want to have childlike faith towards him. Amen. We're not worried if we got marks on our foreheads or wherever. It doesn't matter because you just want to be with him. That's childlike faith. It's like on a Sunday morning where maybe everyone's worshiping and you feel in your heart to come up front and you're like, oh no, there's no one else up front. I can't do that. You're more worried about what other people say than for you to just talk to Jesus. And the thing is, we need to stop worrying about what other people are saying or doing. Can I tell you that most people don't even care even when they have a comment? You know, it's sad. I read of all these young people who commit suicide because someone on the internet picked on them or said something about them. That's horrible. That's horrible. We need to come back to a childlike faith where we don't really care what anyone says except for what Jesus says about us. Amen. That needs to be our heart. Amen. I encourage you, go back to the innocence of that young time in the Lord and don't worry about what others have to say. Amen. So humility. Innocence. Okay, the next one. Accepting. Children are accepting. In Romans 15:7, it says this. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Now think about this. When Christ accepted you, did you knock on the door of some kind of building, and then like a little camera pops out and looks you up and down to see whether you're good enough to go through? That's not how it was at all, right? Literally, when you said, Jesus, come into my heart, it's as if he grabbed hold of you, wrapped both arms around you, says, I'll take you. And you could have been a complete mess. You know what I'm saying? Any people were messed up when they got picked by Jesus? Both my hands are up. I was totally a mess, all right? And he didn't care. But while I was up in Canada, I was speaking with my older brother, Ken, who is the caretaker, the head over the farm that's up there now. And so he told this story, which so relates to this. And I just want to share it with you. So he talked about the fact that, you know, when you go out to the barn and you're there all day, you step into all kinds of things. You touch all kinds of, you know, when you're done at the end of the day, you don't look nice and you don't smell nice. And so he was relaying this story that as he was coming into the house this one night, his grandkids were there. And they were just little guys, you know, 3, 4 years old. And they come running up, Grandpa. Now his hair's a mess. He looks like something out of a Halloween horror story, all right? But they don't care. They know it's Grandpa. You know what they do? They come running up. They grab hold of him, wrap their arms around his legs. They hug him, kiss him. Grandpa, it's just so nice to see you. They didn't care about the stink. They didn't care how he looked. You get what I'm saying? There was no regard for any of that. They just wanted to accept him the way he was. Now, can I tell you that you and I, we have an issue sometimes as we begin to, quote, grow up and lose our childlike faith. We actually begin to think that at times God stinks. Now, I don't mean smelly stinks, but sometimes he says things we don't like. Sometimes he does things in our lives we would rather him not do. And instead of us still embracing him, we're like, no, 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 no. And we push back from him. Think about this. This is real stuff. And we do this with other people too. You know, when other people, quote, stink, maybe in the natural or spiritually, we push away instead of just embracing them as a living, loving soul that needs Jesus. Amen. We need to come to a place of that childlike faith of being accepting of everyone. I'm not saying accept sin. I'm not suggesting that in any way at all. But accepting the soul. You know, hating the sin, but accepting the soul of the person. That's childlike faith. Amen. We need to, as husbands and wives, we need to do that. As parents, we need to do that with our kids. As co-workers, we need to do this. As friends at school, we need to do this. We need to stop judging one another. That's not childlike. Little kids don't judge other little kids. Now, they start, time to get 5, 6, 7 years old. They're doing it because they got the example of everyone else. But before that, they accept everybody to play in the sandbox. And we need to be that way in the sandbox of life, that we just are willing to play with anyone. Again, not accepting the sin, but loving the sinner. Amen? Loving those around us. That's childlike faith. So even when God may stink in your life at times where he's asking you to do something, you don't want to do it, to still grab hold of him and say, I'm going to go with you no matter what. We need to be that way, amen? If you want to walk as a child in God's kingdom and participate in what God's got, these are things we've got to do. Amen. So humility, innocence, accepting. Okay, number 4, transparent. We need to be transparent. Psalms 23:3 says this, he, which is the Lord, restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, about a month ago, Sandra and I were walking the bridge. Now, everyone knows where the old railway trestle is now converted into a walkway. It's actually quite nice. So we were up there one day walking. So we walked to the other end, and then we walked back. So you get to see people. As you're walking, you run into different people. So as we're going, we see this young family, a mom and a dad and a couple kids. And there's one kid's about 3 years old. And at one end, they must have got an ice cream cone because there's vendors there. And so the kids with his little ice cream cone, and we're like, oh, that's so cute. And we're walking by. And then all of a sudden, I hear this screaming, right? So I turn back, and the kid's ice cream cone had gone poop and fallen to the ground. And like, man, I can identify. Okay, I'd be crying too if my ice cream fell to the ground. Believe me. All right, so I am in total, my soul was knit with this kid, all right? I'm like, oh, man, I feel so bad for that kid. And the kid's just screaming. Parents are trying everything to, you know, quiet the kid, you know, all kinds of different things. Nothing's working because the kid, he's transparent, right? He hurts. His tummy's empty. His ice cream's on the floor, and he wanted it. And so he's in distress. But here's the interesting thing. After a while, the parents are saying, look, I don't even remember the kid's name. You know, so-and-so, we can't do anything about it. And so after what, you know, they're trying to urge the kid to come, and the kid wants to just look at his ice cream on the ground. And so the parents after a while decide, we're just going to start walking away. Now, they didn't walk away, all right? They're looking back. So there's no child abandonment, just so you know, right? But they start kind of moving. And the little kid after a while, looking down, you know, sad face, crocodile tears, the whole thing, realizes, well, I guess it's time to move on. And runs on with the parents. Now, that's childlike faith. Because here's the thing. The parents, they're trying to help, trying to fix everything. Apparently, the parents didn't seem to be doing a good job to the kid. But what did the kid decide? The child decided that though this has happened, I'm going to stick to my mom and dad. You see, we're like that in life sometimes. Something's gone wrong. Our ice cream's on the ground, or far worse. Our relationships are on the ground. Our finances are on the ground. Our whatever is on the ground. And we're feeling bad about it. The question is, are you going to just stay standing there, feeling sorry for yourself? Or are you going to carry on? Because here's the neat thing. When that parent got the kid back to the end of the bridge, guess what that kid got? More ice cream. But they had to move on from there, stick with mom and dad to get the ice cream. It's the same for you and I. We got to stick with dad so we get the ice cream back, all right? So you see what I'm saying? That sometimes we're in such a pity party. Oh, God, you didn't do it the way I wanted you to do it or expect you to do it. So I guess this is the way it is. And we're like, I'm just going to stay here. We're like the older kid who just refuses to leave. And the parents could have left and the kid would still be standing there today. We need to have childlike faith where though we're hurting, we're transparent. There's nothing wrong with being transparent with Jesus. It's all okay. But when push comes to shove, we still grab his hand and say, I'm hurting, but I'm going to stick with you. And look back at the scripture. If you pop that scripture back up, I just want you to see it because it says something there. It says, he, the Lord, restores my soul. He leads me into paths of righteousness. Look at the two parts of this. First of all, it's the Lord that restores your soul. That's your mind, your will, your emotions. In other words, he wants to restore it. He wants to help you with it. How? Here's how. By leading you in paths of righteousness. In other words, you got to stick with him. You can't just sit there with the ice cream saying, I feel sorry. He can't fix that. But here's what he can do. If you'll hold on to him and keep going with him, then he'll work it through. You see what I'm saying? You get more ice cream. Okay? It will work out, but you got to stay with him so he can lead you. That's childlike faith. When things don't go the way you think they should go or the way you thought they should go, that regardless of that, you're going to cling to Jesus no matter what and stay on the road. Can I promise you this? He may not have every answer for your questions right now, but if you stay on the road, you will get revelation. He will show you. Often we have to get to that new place. Like that little kid, he's like so freaked out about his ice cream, he didn't realize there's more. There's always more in Jesus. Amen? And that's how we need to be. Okay, humility, innocence, accepting, transparent. Okay, this one's really important. Spiritually hungry. 1 Peter 2, verses 1 to 3 says this. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. We should always be hungry for the things of God. Now, I'm not going to ask for this survey here because I don't want to make anyone feel silly. So if I say a rhetorical question or anything like that, do not put your hand up, right? Don't, okay? Statistically, I just read a fact that shocked me. Here's the statistic. That 10% of adults believe that chocolate milk comes from brown cows. So don't put your hand up if you're like, hey, I thought that was true. It's not true. Okay? We had brown cows and white milk comes from brown cows. Now, brown eggs from brown chickens? Yes. But I don't know anything about that. We didn't have those, all right? But white milk only. You have to add the chocolate mix to make the chocolate part, all right? Here's my point. Some little kid somewhere, of those 10% plus more, somewhere along the way said to mommy or daddy, where does chocolate milk come from? And what did the parent say? Brown cows. And you know what that child said? Okay. Now, they never did a fact check later on in life, but they believed it. Now, why do I even bring that up? Now, obviously, that was a lie. But when God tells you something, do you have to fact check that? Do you have to do some research back on it? Do you have to go experience life a little bit? No, when God says it, it's true, isn't it? That's childlike faith. You see, when we differentiate between what others say, what the news says, what whoever says, and we hear from Jesus and he says something, our answer should be okay. Now, it doesn't mean you don't have questions. You can have the questions, but that you're not so much questioning the answer, you're questioning to fully more understand. You hear what I'm saying? And so it's okay. But to have childlike faith means to take God at his word. For example, when a believer comes to me and says, I'm not sure if God loves me. Now, I want to tell you, sometimes I feel like slapping them. It depends on the circumstance. But it's like, what? He died for you. How much more can a dude do for you? You know what I'm saying? He died for you. He rose again. He gave you his Holy Spirit. But here's the thing. They're saying, I feel that I'm not loved. I get that. Because what happens is we can kind of disconnect from that. Here's the thing, though. We have to go back to our childlike faith and say, no, the word says he loves me. And so I am choosing to experience his love. And Lord, I'm asking you to show me that love. You see what I'm saying? But if we become adult-like, sometimes we start to doubt God like we doubted other situations. You can't do that. God is in a whole different category. He is a perfect father. Perfect father. When he says something, it's absolute truth. You can't take or add to it. It's absolute truth. Amen? Okay, so humility, innocence, accepting, transparent, spiritually hungry. Okay. Here's the last one. Unconditionally loving. John 15:13. We've already kind of talked about this. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. I read a story about 20 years ago, a true story about 20 years ago. And it was of two daughters, twin daughters. And these daughters had a good life, a healthy life. But when they got to be about 5, 6 years old, one of them needed an organ transplant. Some kind of freak thing happened, and they needed an organ transplant. Now, what made matters worse was they had this really, really rare blood type. So it turned out that the twin daughter of the one that was sick had the same blood type. And so the doctors came to the parents and said, look, you know, we can do this organ transplant. It'll be okay, but it would take and be much safer if we get some blood, blood transfusion from your other daughter, from her twin sister. And so the parents said, well, okay, you know, that makes sense. And so they went and talked to the daughter who's going to give the blood and said, look, are you willing to give your blood for your sister? And so she kind of thought about it for a minute and said, yeah, I'll do that. And so the day came, you know, it was a couple of weeks before everything was ready. Now, for certain types of blood transfusions, they don't always gather it into a bottle and then transfer it. In this case, literally, they were going to have the one daughter, both of them, the twins, in a room, and they would just, from a tube, go directly to the other daughter. And so the one daughter's already, the operation already started, and then they needed blood now. So the other daughter that's going to give the blood came into the room, and before she gets on the little bed thing to have the intravenous tube put in, she went over and gave a kiss on her sister's face and said, hey, you know, I love you. You know, it's all nice and sweet. And so she comes and lays back down in the artery, right? That's where you get blood from. They put the little needle in the artery, and you see the little red line start down the tube going across to her sister who needed the blood. And so a little time goes on, you know, minutes go on. And all of a sudden, the daughter giving the blood starts to look kind of sad. And the parents said, you know, what's wrong? And she said to them, she looks up with her eyes and says, is it going to hurt? And they're like, well, what do you mean is it going to hurt? You know, it already hurt when you had the needle put in to get the blood drawn. You know, what do you mean is it going to hurt? And here's what she says. She looks up and she says, is it going to hurt when I die? You see, she thought when the parents had asked her to give her blood to her sister, that she would actually be dying for her sister, that she would have to give her life. Now, here's the thing. She was willing to do it. She was willing to do it. You see, she was just worried, you know, is it going to hurt when I actually die? That was her question. But she was willing to do it. Obviously, the parents explained, no, you know, you don't have to die. But she was willing to do it. You see, childlike faith is just like that. Are you willing to give it all for Jesus? And you might say, well, look, I do it for my wife or my husband or my kid. What about the stranger? What about just somebody you don't even know? You see, that's childlike faith. That's unconditional loving. That's what God has called you and I to. Back to the roots. Just as he gave his life on the cross of Calvary for us, are we willing to do the same for anyone else? That's the question. Just like that little girl making that decision to do that. Where are we in our faith walk? You know, sometimes we're always thinking about going further on. Maybe we need to visit back to where we were. Back to our childlike faith that we had once before. Let's stand and pray together. You know, to have childlike faith is a choice. It really is a choice. It's an act of the will. And I can't encourage you enough, if you're going to try to do this by feelings and say, well, I feel like I'd like to, it's not going to happen. You have to make a decision. Just like Malachi, as he was standing on that chair, had to make a decision. Do I trust these guys who almost dropped me the day before? You know, he had to make that decision and let go. And it's a scary thing to do a trust fall off a chair. You can't step back on that one. You know what I'm saying? You're going to go back and you're going to get hurt if you don't get caught. Can I tell you, Jesus will always catch you. He always will. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day. And Lord, I think probably this message is in my heart because you're challenging me to come back to childlike faith. And so, Lord, we need to look at this. We need to look at these attributes of what being childlike in you portrays. And so, Lord, I pray that our hearts are open to the things that we've talked about today, that if we've gotten off the road, that we've kind of gotten into our own way of doing things rather than trusting you fully, that we would come back to you and just fully surrender and say, Lord, bring that childlike faith back again. In fact, just with every eye closed, if you're that person that says, yeah, I want to have childlike faith, just put your hand up to the Lord. Just put your hand up. Lord, you see these hands raised all over the sanctuary, mine's up as well. for, Lord, I want to go back to my roots. I want to go back to that time where I could say, Lord, I'm trusting you with anything, and not be asking the questions before I begin to act in faith. Lord, bring us all back to that place where we can just trust you. For Lord, you want to bring us to great places, Lord. And you want to restore our soul, but we have to continually be led in righteousness. We have to keep being allowed to be led, Lord God, so that you can bring us into the new places that you have for us. So Lord, I speak a blessing over every person here as they seek your face, as they call out to you. I thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you this morning. If you'd like prayer for anything, love to pray with you.